Hey guys, it's Lee. This is podcast number 3. I'm so excited. I was laughing so hard to myself the other day, and I was thinking, I wonder how long I will announce and tell the listeners which podcast it is. Like, I can totally hear myself saying, okay, it's podcast number 492. Who's excited? Anyways, I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day. I am sorry that this one took so long to get out. I was on vacation last week, which was great to spend some time away from work and hang out with the family, but it set everything back a little bit. So, anywho, I'm super excited to jump straight into this week's story. Of the three podcasts I've done, I think I'm most excited to tell you about today's story. So don't get me wrong, Kyle and Tara stories, that was podcast 1 and 2, meant so, so much to me. But even by their family's own admission, Kyle and Tara are most likely no longer with us. Today's story, though. Today's story is insane. I cannot wait to tell you about it. Okay, guys, if you are ready for an absolutely crazy ride, sit back and buckle up. This is the story of Jared Duke Johnston, who vanished on Saturday, July 7th, 2007. Jared Duke Johnston was born on Sunday, August 21st, 1988. At the time of his disappearance, Jared was 18 years old. He had brown hair and brown eyes. He was 5'11 and weighed about 155 pounds. Jared was outgoing and made friends easily. He was spontaneous, quick-witted, and apparently had the best, most infectious laugh. His sister said he had one of those laughs that when people heard it, they couldn't help but smile. He was super smart and absolutely loved music, especially the guitar. My favorite story that his dad told on an episode of Disappeared is when Jared was in kindergarten or first grade, I can't remember, and his teacher called and said, "Did you know that Jared is reading?" And his dad was like, "Yeah, like he's been reading for a while now. Well, you know, what's the big deal?" Anyways, apparently the teacher said, "But did you know he's reading Hemingway?" And I guess his dad was like, huh? I thought that was the sweetest story. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. I love that story. Probably because as I sit here now, in my late 30s, I can honestly say I've never read Hemingway, I don't think. Unless I was forced to in high school, maybe. Anyway, okay. So what happened? At the time of his disappearance, Jared was living in Franklin, Kentucky, right near the Tennessee border. He was living with his dad, Steve, his stepmom, Lisa, and his siblings, 2 younger brothers and a younger sister. For summer break that year, which was 2007, Steve and Lisa, stepmom and dad, were driving 3 of the 4 kids to Yazoo, Mississippi. I think it's Yazoo, Mississippi. The younger kids on the trip were Lisa's from a previous marriage. Those 2 kids were going to be dropped off at Lisa's mom's house, so the kid's grandma, for a few weeks. All right, so are you following this? This is Lisa's mom. So even though this was the grandmother to her younger kids, it was not Jared's grandma. Okay, so the younger kids were going to grandma's, and Jared was going to be staying with a friend who lived not far from Lisa's mom's house. Now, for the sake of simplicity, I am going to refer to Lisa as Jared's mom for the rest of the story. Even though she was Jared's stepmom, it doesn't influence the story at all, and I think it's easier for the listeners to follow. Okay? So I'm calling Lisa mom, even though she's stepmom. All right. Anyhow, so I Googled the distance between Franklin, Kentucky and Yazoo, Mississippi, and it's just under 500 miles. Now, for the longest time, I couldn't figure out how, why Jared had any friends in Yazoo, Mississippi, since their only connection to Yazoo was Lisa's mom living there. But it turns out that Jared and his family had lived in Yazoo for a short while. So because of this, Jared had friends and a girlfriend that lived there. So on July 4th, 2007, the Johnston summer plans were carried out. Who would have thought this 500-mile trip would lead the family down the craziest path imaginable? As planned, Jared is dropped off at his friend's house, and the younger two kids were dropped off at their grandma's house. After a sweet drop-off, Steve and Lisa head back to Kentucky. At that time, probably looking forward to a few weeks without the kids. The first few days were uneventful and expected. Everyone was where they were supposed to be, plans were being followed the way they were supposed to, and summer was off to a great start. That is, until the afternoon of Saturday, July 7th. You can imagine the surprise on Grandma's face when Jared shows up at her house just 3 days after being dropped off at his friend's. Now remember, he was supposed to be gone for 2 to 3 weeks, not 2 to 3 days. Now, under normal circumstances, most grandmas would never mind their grandchild showing up at their house unexpectedly. However, according to the Disappeared episode on Jared, Grandma wasn't too thrilled to see Mr. Jared. You see, Jared had a little issue with stealing Grandma's pain pills. Apparently, Jared was having a pretty big issue with drugs for the past few years. He was using heavily enough that once, when his parents were out of town, he OD'd at a party he was throwing and had to go to the hospital. That situation, I'm sure along with many others, paved a 2-year path in and out of rehab for Jared. As a matter of fact, Jared had gotten in an argument with his mom right before they left for Yazoo because she had caught him smoking weed in the basement. By the time they left for the trip, though, they apparently had moved past the squabble and smoothed things out. Okay, so Grandma sees Jared getting dropped off at her house and is like, this ain't happening. She tells Jared he is not allowed to stay at her house and he needs to call his mom and dad to figure out something else. There we go. Word of the day is figure out. Anyhow, after the argument with Grandma, Jared grabs his crap and storms out of the house. His younger sister Brittany attempts to talk to him, and allegedly he says, "Don't worry about me, I'll take care of myself." At 3 p.m. on July 7th, 2007, Jared Duke Johnston walks down the dirt road of his grandma's house and is never seen or heard from again. After Jared walked away from his grandma's house, Grandma calls Steve and Lisa, it's mom and dad, to explain to them what had just happened. Jared's mom and dad decide not to drive and go pick him up. As an outsider, it is so, so easy for me to pass judgment right now. It would be so easy for me to sit here and say, how could they have not jumped back in their car and gone to pick him up? but I'm sure this is something that they regret and battle every single day. For whatever reason, instead of driving to pick him up, they decide to let him be and cool off. Although his parents knew he did not have a cell phone, they did know he had a girlfriend that lived in Yazoo. They were 110% certain that's where he was heading. Apparently, it was not super unusual for Jared to need a, quote, cooling off period. Usually, it would last a few days or a week at the most. So, after 3 weeks of not hearing from him, Steve and Lisa start to worry. As fate would have it, Jared receives a letter in the mail that his mom and dad open. The letter was from the state of Kentucky. It was a notice that Jared's ACT scores and grades were so freaking banging that he was eligible for a full ride to any Kentucky public school of his choosing. Like, how freaking awesome is that? This kid was hella smart. And that was on drugs. You know what I mean? He was hella smart. That's so cool. Obviously, this news elated the family. And they decide that this is the news that they want to share with Jared to smooth things over. Right? Like, who the hell could stay mad after hearing that news? So, the family gets together and calls Jared's girlfriend, Casey. After all, they were 110% sure that is where he was. So, they call Casey, and to their total shock, she has no freaking clue what they're talking about. Not only was Jared not at Casey's house, she had no freaking idea he had even been in town. Can you imagine the feeling that must have taken over his parents' body in that moment? Not knowing where your child would be is hard enough. But then, to think, 3 weeks have gone by without knowing. You were assuming this whole time that he was with Casey, and he's not. Again, super easy to pass judgment right now, and I'm trying my very hardest not to. I'd be for sure lying if I said I didn't raise an eyebrow, but who am I to say what I would have done? You know, and I think 3 weeks ago when they dropped Jared off, that was a 500-mile drive for them to drop off the kiddos and then come home. So 3 days later when Jared shows up at his grandma's, gets in the fight, and then turns around and leaves, I don't know, maybe I do get it, you know? And he's 18 and he's used, or they're used to him doing this. Maybe I wouldn't have jumped in my car and driven the 500 miles back. I don't know. Who's to say? Regardless, Casey, the girlfriend, says she hasn't seen Jared since January. Now remember, this is July now. She says, I haven't seen Jared since January. What is even more disturbing and heart-wrenching, and what sets off total alarm bells to his family, is that Casey continues to tell his mom and dad that the last time she saw Jared, he had accidentally left his wallet in her car. So all this time has passed, and Jared didn't even have his ID or social security card on him. Okay. So any parent in the world would be freaking out right now, right? What makes things way, way worse for this family is that this isn't the first time that the family has dealt with this. So, explanationally, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Years ago, Jared's dad had a sister. So this would be Jared's aunt, right? So Jared's aunt went missing. When she was 18 years old, she had begged her mom and dad to let her go to this concert. Finally, they gave in. They're like, whatever, go to the concert, have fun, like, be careful, whatever. So she leaves for the concert and is never seen alive again. Okay? 3 months after the concert, some kids were playing in a creek and found the body of a young woman. His poor sister had been murdered by some rando couple that she had met the night of the concert. Anyhow, how crazy is that, right? And they say lightning doesn't strike twice. Like, clearly it does in the Johnston family. So on top of everything they're going through, this poor father is like reliving this moment again, that he had lived through with his sister. And now it's his baby, his son, his child. So anyhow, crazy. Okay. So mom and dad are freaking out right now. And now that they realize that no one has seen or heard from Jared in 3 weeks, they decide it's time to call the cops and report Jared missing. Again, try not to pass judgment. 3 weeks have gone by. They have not yet called the cops. It is what it is. That's what happens. Happened. Okay, so they call the cops. Here's the problem. Jared is 18, so he's an adult. He's not a minor. And they do not suspect foul play since he left on his own. Oh my gosh, how frustrating. So they start their own investigation. They start calling, emailing, searching, reaching out, doing whatever they can to get information. So they end up talking to the mom of the friend who Jared was staying with when he showed up unexpectedly at his grandma's house. Remember, he had been dropped off at a friend's house? So Jared's parents call the mother of that friend and is like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen Jared in 3 weeks. Like, what's going on? Do you know where he is? Have you seen him? And she says, well, I haven't seen him recently, but I did see him the early hours of Sunday, July 8th. Okay, so that was 15 hours after he left his grandma's. She said she saw him walking through downtown Yazoo. She said she actually thought he was walking back towards her house. So she drove to her house. I'm not really sure why she didn't stop and say, like, hey, are you heading to the house? Do you want a ride? I don't know if she was, like, saw him from a distance or if she was in traffic. I have no idea. But regardless, she went home assuming he was walking to her house, but he never showed up. And I guess, you know, she probably didn't think much more about it after that. Not knowing what to do, the family does everything they can think of to help Jared. They put up flyers. They call everyone and anyone to see if they had seen Jared. They also add Jared to all the missing persons websites they can find. In February 2008, so this is now 7 months after he disappeared, the family receives an email ransom note that says something to the effect of, if you ever want to see Jared alive again, send $50,000 or he dies. The family, of course, is smart enough to, like, say, hold up and think this one through. But they report it to the cybercrime division of the police. After months and months of, I think it actually went to the FBI. So after months and months of the FBI sorting through this, they determined that the email was total crap and 100% fraudulent. I know, big shocker, right? The person didn't have Jared or know anything about his whereabouts. They were only trying to extort money from a desperate family. So side note, apparently these freaking losers do this type of thing on the regular. Like, this is a way that they make money. I was honestly a bit sickened by it. So they go onto these missing persons websites and they gather up all the information they can on these poor, or from these poor desperate families looking for their loved ones. And they make a living out of extorting money from you. Unbelievable. Talk about kicking someone when they're down, huh? Anyway, thankfully his parents were smart enough to not send 50K. Then again, who has that kind of money at the drop of a dime like that? But anyway. Okay, So 3 years go by with no information. And then July 2010 happens. July 2010 is a total freaking game changer. The family gets a call from the Yazoo Sheriff's Office. They are calling to let Jared's family know that they received a call from a lady in Atlanta who states Jared is both alive and well. The caller, who's a woman named Kelly, states that she was driving down the road and found this random young man laying on a guardrail. He was dehydrated and malnourished, and he looked to be on the brink of death. Kelly pulls over, picks him up, brought him to her house, and nurses him back to health. While he's recovering, the young man tells Kelly that he's having serious trouble remembering his quote-unquote old life, but he thinks his name is Sam. He couldn't remember where he was from, his phone number. He couldn't remember his address. He couldn't even remember his birth date. He said he thinks he was hit by a car and that it resulted in some pretty serious brain damage and memory loss. Anyways, after Kelly rescues Sam, she made it her personal mission to find Sam's family. She would scour missing persons websites looking for a picture of Sam so she could help identify him and find his family. Then, one day, she finds Jared's missing person flyer. She took a look at the flyer and immediately knew it was Jared. She called the sheriff's office to notify the family that Jared had been found. You can imagine the sheer joy when Jared's family heard the news that Jared was alive and well. Kelly sent the family a picture that she had, and although it had been 3 years since Jared's family had seen him, they confirmed it was Jared. Oh my God, they had found Jared! Both Jared's family and Kelly were 100% sure they had found him. Kelly shared intimate details about Jared with his family. Just so there's absolutely no mistaking the two. I mean, they compared his laugh. They talked about his love for guitar and music. They shared stories of him canning tomatoes with his mom. They noted the matching scar he had. They even talked about his freaking capped front tooth. So, Jared's family is beyond stoked at this point, right? They're packing up all their crap. They're getting ready to go pick up Jared. As they're getting ready to leave to drive down to Atlanta, Kelly, the woman who Jared had been staying with, says, Whoa, wait, stop. You can't come here to pick him up. And of course, Jared's family's like, what are you talking about? We're on our way right now. And Kelly says, no, he's not here anymore. We haven't seen him in 2 years. You guys, can you freaking imagine? Apparently, Jared had only stayed with Kelly for 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, he bounced. He wanted to go to NYC. So Kelly bought him a bus ticket and sent him on his way. She said it was actually heart-wrenching. She said as soon as he left, she regretted it. The moment he left and pulled off that bus, she regretted letting him leave. So for 2 years, she had desperately been trying to find him. It like almost brings me to tears. Like I can feel tears in my eyes right now. Ah, that's so crazy. That's so crazy. For both families, for Jared's family and for Kelly, you know, like just such a helpless feeling. So that is how she ran across Jared's missing persons flyer, though. Like she was still after 2 years, it was 22 months, so just shy of 2 years. She was still looking to find out who Sam was or Jared. Okay, so now we have two families trying to track down Jared. We have the Johnstons, his family, and Kelly, who he had stayed with. The Johnstons reach out to the FBI agent who had helped them with the fraudulent ransom note bull crap that they had dealt with earlier in Jared's disappearance. And after 2 months of searching high and low, the FBI was able to locate him. You can imagine the sheer joy that the Johnstons and Kelly are feeling in this moment. But get this. Are you ready for this? The FBI agent says he has devastating news. The man was not Jared. Can you believe it? After all that they had been through, and it is not freaking Jared. It turns out Sam is really a young man named Nathaniel Wright who had been located living in Boston. The great news, though, that Kelly is able to reunite with Nathaniel in March 2012. So, after this absolutely devastating news and blow to Jared's family, they go down to their local sheriff's department to check in more or less. Or not to their local, sorry. They go to the Yazoo, because that's where he disappeared from. They just want to make sure that they're still taking the case seriously, that they're following up on leads, you know, things like that. So they get down to the sheriff's department and they introduce themselves to the new sheriff. It had been an election year, so there was all new staff. And the sheriff says, nice to meet you, but I have no clue what you're talking about. The sheriff's department had no clue about Jared Johnston's case. Oh my gosh. Can you believe that apparently the previous sheriff had either misplaced or thrown away Jared's case file? Unbelievable, right? So the new sheriff reopens Jared's case, and within 2 weeks he calls the family saying he has a lead on Jared. We may have located Jared. This time, though, the family doesn't let themselves get excited. They said they just couldn't allow themselves to go through that emotional roller coaster ride again. So, they very casually asked the new sheriff, who's Sheriff Irvine, by the way, for information. Unfortunately, though, the news is not fantastic. Sheriff Irvine says the man he thinks is Jared is in an Atlanta hospital in a coma. Because this person couldn't give consent, he's in a coma, the sheriff and family must petition the court to allow them to release his name, release the name to the Johnston family. Believe it or not, it takes Sheriff Irvine 2 months to get through the privacy issue of patient confidentiality. What a long 2 months that was for the Johnston family. Anyways, the petition is finally granted by a judge, only to learn that the man lying in the Atlanta hospital in the coma is not Jared Johnston. This, unfortunately, is the last credible lead we have for Jared. Years have now gone by, and we are no closer to finding Jared. What do you guys think? Is Jared alive? My personal opinion is that Jared is out there alive somewhere. I think the story of Sam is probably pretty close to Jared's. I think Jared may have been in an accident and seriously just can't remember who he is or where he comes from. I pray that this family finds out what happens to Jared. If you know of any information that could help solve this case, please contact the Yazoo Sheriff's Department at 662-746-5611. Again, that's 662-746-5611. Thank you for listening to another episode of Crime Time Tea Time with Lee. I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic day. Bye, guys.